Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome someone who I would call a quintessential entrepreneur in the world of technology, Mr. Vijay Gupta. Vijay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Vijay is the founder and CEO of Think Future Technologies Private Limited. He's also founded the InPage platform as well as Jewel Mesh. So, Vijay, before I start talking about Think Future Technologies, tell me a little bit about your own background and what made you an entrepreneur and that and not and what made you stay in India rather than go off overseas.
Yeah. So before we go that path, I would like to just slightly correct that. This both InPage, Jewel Mesh, and Think Future Technologies were co-founded by me and my partner. And I would like to name him. His name is RP Singh.
Okay.
So we were both batchmates from IIT Kanpur, computer science. We worked in odd jobs for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Last, we worked with a company here in India, 87, 88, where we were working on Apple Macintosh, creating products on that. What made us stay? I think when I graduated, there was no, in my mind, I never thought that I would be going abroad.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was, okay, we'll do a job, we'll work on some aspect, and then we'll do a business. In my mind, it's very clear that I used to spend 4 or 5 years working in capacity of an employee in a company,
mm-hmm.
and then take up my own business.
Okay.
It was very clear in my mind. So I think that's how we just kind of stayed on.
Wonderful. So as far as Think Future Technologies is concerned, tell me a little bit about this venture and your motivation to start it.
Yeah, I think we started Think Future Technologies in 2007. Prior to that, almost 15 years, we had done products.
Mm-hmm.
And those products were very successful. I mean, decently, reasonably successful, I would say. Not very successful, but reasonably successful. But we never became kind of a unicorn. And one of the reasons was, I think we felt our strength was more in engineering rather than the go-to-market strategies, and also raising money and investment. We did try, by the way, but it didn't happen. We thought, let's not waste time. Let's keep focusing on the product. So the focus when we moved to Think Future Technologies was more to more towards providing the same kind of product development expertise to our customers.
Okay.
And that's what the whole motivation was. And we started with the testing as a service. And the reason we started with testing as a service is a lot of companies are, especially product companies.
Mm.
And when I say product, we're talking about software products.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies are very shy of sharing their source code because of the IP issues.
Correct.
So we thought that, okay, if we start the sub-process, which is testing as a service, then we can get a foothold in these companies.
Okay.
And then once they engage with us, they realize what kind of work we do, it can open up other possibilities. So for the first 3 years, we were actually focusing on various aspects of testing. And the other reason we focused on testing when we started was, as per our experience with engineers when we were developing products, we found that engineers did not pay attention to testing. They thought of testing as a second-rate job. As a result, the quality of the product was not the same. You know, we went through multiple iterations. So we thought that if you focus, Achilles heel of a lot of companies. That's how we started.
Okay.
So the motivation one, because we came with a product background, and second, we wanted to start with testing so that we get an entry into various companies.
Very interesting. And you also speak about product development as a service, PDAS,
yeah.
or PDAAS, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Can you help me understand this maybe with an example?
Yeah, sure. So the product development has a lot of pieces. Again, we are focusing on the engineering aspect of it. And so the pieces can be like preparing requirements, working on architecture, implementation, testing, DevOps, scaling it up, you know. So there are a variety of aspects of this. The product development as a service focuses on either one or the whole nine yards. So we could do, there could be a startup who comes to us, has an idea, doesn't know how to go about it, We take it up from him, go through the entire nine yards from requirement specification down to implementation and scaling it up. Or there could be an established player, a big leader in his own right, and just wants to do a testing, or just wants to do some development, or just wants to do DevOps. So we could help them there as well. So the idea of service was not to just focus on product development, but be able to help customers with any part of what we call application lifecycle management, ALM.
Okay. Okay.
And so I can also give you an example here. Yeah. Like a lot of in the product development, a lot of things do not need to be automated. Mm-hmm. It could be a combination of manual and automated solution. To give an example, when we visited Israel in 2011, there was a company called GetTaxi, something like Uber. And the first application they came up with only had a phone icon, a call button.
Mm-hmm.
So people could download the application on their phone,
right.
They could call on it and say, I need a taxi. And there was an agent on the other end who would actually call the taxi and show there's a coordination and all that. So, and that way they got a lot of users. That way they managed to check the validate and validate their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the same, I think, principle when we collate all these best practices and when a new startup or a company comes up, we tell them that focus on your most valuable aspect that you want to automate.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the rest to manual. I think that the whole idea of having the and done product successfully for ourselves and customers, mm-hmm. when a new customer comes in, I think that is very important for them.
Fascinating. You've also done a lot of work on InPage. Tell me a little bit about InPage and how did you chance upon this opportunity, I think, when Microsoft launched MS yes. Word, if I remember.
Yes, when Microsoft Windows launched. So, again, me and my partner, we were working with a company, it was called Rubber Quantum. They were distributors of Apple Mac in India.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were the principal distributor. So they were also working on a language software. They were working on providing Indian language solutions. And they were also working on a variety of other languages like Urdu and all.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of problems because it was only a kind of a patch on existing software like PageMaker. There used to be PageMaker at that time, which mm-hmm. through which you could lay out a page. And it wasn't a kind of solution built from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So when we launched, we had in to do with website. And that's how we actually went into this venture called InPage.
Mm-hmm. So Ravi, before we move any further, tell me a little bit about your other project, which is InPage, which I think started
You may want to stop it because you called me Ravi. So.
Ravi. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So Vijay, I wanted to also ask you about your other project, which is InPage, which I think had something to do with when Microsoft launched its own services here. Tell me a little bit about this project.
Yes, absolutely. So we started with InPage in 1991, 1992. Mm-hmm. And that was a time when real usable version of Microsoft Windows 3.0 was launched.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we were working in a company called Rubber Quantum, and we were developing language software on Apple Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So we were developing language software, Japanese market, Chinese market,
mm.
Tibetan. We did something for Tibetan.
Mm.
So when this launched, but what we did in the difference, what we did in Apple Macintosh was we were kind of creating patches on an existing application,
mm-hmm.
like PageMaker. So we thought if we could do something from scratch and build strong foundation, mm. then the platform could be very useful.
Mm.
And that was an inspiration. That's what we went into this product called InPage.
Mm.
And we created an engine for double byte handling of characters. What that means is, up till then, we had limitation of 1 byte, which means you could only handle 256 shapes. Any high quality language, you know, typesetting in language, even Hindi, would require around 1,000 shapes.
Mm.
And Chinese would require much more, 30,000, 40,000 shapes.
Mm.
So long before Unicode happened, we built this engine, which supported this multi-byte operation.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, we provided specific language solutions for Japanese, for Chinese, for Perso-Arabic languages, for Indian languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our Japanese version didn't do too well, but the Perso-Arabic version did very well. And especially, you know, in the subcontinent, Urdu, Kashmiri, Pashto, Sindhi, Hazaragi, those kind of languages, because there was no solution, they did extremely well. In fact, so much so that even now all newspapers, magazines, books in these languages are published using our software.
Wow. Wow. So let's now move, Vijay, to some general questions to you about startups and entrepreneurs. And, you know, you've spent most of your life as a startup and as an entrepreneur. And you mentioned right in the beginning that you've had a co-founder for all your businesses. So my first question to you is, what is the advantage of going solo versus having a co-founder?
I think it's very, very valuable having a co-founder.
Mm.
But one should have co-founder for the value the co-founder brings in and not for the sake of having it.
Okay.
What that means is, one, you should have complementary skills. If you don't have complementary skills, you should take up complementary roles.
Mm.
So in our case, like me and RP had similar skills, but we took different roles.
Okay.
And so that role definition has to be very clear. The partner should not tread on each other's toes. That is very important. The value it brings is you are able to discuss approaches. You are able to discuss business matters. You're able to fine tune your strategy before you go out. Whereas if you're a solo entrepreneur, it's a very lonely job, right? You don't have nobody to talk to. So those are the advantages. But having said that, at some point when you scale up, when you grow, the skill set that you bring will be taken over by professionals and
Correct.
You will do a better job.
Correct.
So I think those partnerships are successful, which from day one decide on what is exit for each product. And the exit should keep in mind that the product and the customers shall not be shortchanged in any way.
Mm.
So that's what. So have partnership, it's very important. Have complementary partnership and also have an exit clause.
Wonderful. And my next question to you is that what are some of the important qualities a startup founder or a set of startup founders need to have?
So there are a lot of qualities that people talk about: passion, drive, depth of knowledge. To me, I think I look at the measurable qualities.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the biggest one, is ability to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have so many pulls, personal pulls, business pulls,
Correct.
Products, customers. You have to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most important skill set. And the second one is doing more with less. Now, that's basically an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean here is, I'll explain what I mean. It means now with the state of technology, there are so many solutions available. Like, solve a problem, you could stitch together these multiple open source solutions and arrive at this overall solution within a matter of days.
Mm.
So that Google has a term for this. They call it combinatorial innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to combine things together to innovate, to solve a problem. I think that is the second most important aspect.
Okay.
The third is having the breadth of knowledge. Mm. Entrepreneurs will definitely have depth of knowledge in what they're doing, but they have to keep aware of what is happening around.
Mm.
Competition, what is their competitive advantage? Is it being shortchanged? Mm. Is someone else coming there? What is the state of technology? How fast it is proceeding? Mm. What else can you use, right? Because nowadays, whatever solution you provide, you want to integrate with a lot of existing solutions.
Mm.
So openness of your solution. So I think these are the three important qualities in my mind.
Okay. And a follow-up question to that is, based on your experience, what are the top three reasons why startups fail?
Yeah, I think the top three reasons are related to three things: the product, the customer, and money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about customer, you have to listen to your customer.
Yeah.
Which means you have to validate your problem with the customer.
Yeah.
But you cannot listen too much to the customer. Mm. You cannot try and get the solution from the customer.
Mm.
Like as Henry Ford said, if you go to a customer and ask him, they'll say, we need faster horses.
Mm.
So you have to listen about the problem just enough, but not too much. So as a corollary, you cannot be, the customer cannot be driving your product. Hey, I want this, I want this, I want this. No. So that's one balance you have to maintain. Second is the product itself. They have to focus on the product execution. They have to come up with the product in the time that they set out to do it. They cannot, there's no perfect product. You cannot spend too much time on it.
Correct.
You spend too much time, you're going to lose a market opportunity.
Correct.
And the third one would be your, so this and money. Yeah. So you have to, I mean, you cannot keep on looking for money because then you waste time. So you look for money enough, but if you don't get it, fine, you bootstrap, you work on it. On the other hand, you also have to ensure that whatever you build, customer pays for it. Money is important in one aspect, that whatever you're building, someone's going to pay for it. In the other aspect, if you can raise money, that's good. If not, go ahead with it.
Well said. Well said. So another question that is often asked by startup entrepreneurs is, should I bootstrap as long as possible or should I raise money as soon as I get it?
So my advice will be bootstrap.
Okay.
Because if you, I mean, you have to bootstrap, you have to prove a concept and there is your skin in the game. And I doubt if anybody will give you money without, unless you put, unless you're bootstrapped and unless you put in your own skin in the game. I doubt any investor will pay you money, right? And the other aspect of the money is you should be in a state to use that money. If somebody gave me $10 million, I wouldn't probably know how to use it, right? So you have to have that infrastructural capacity in your organization to be able to utilize that money. So my advice would be to bootstrap as long as you can. Moment you have a product market fit, moment you have customers coming back saying, hey, this is useful, that is the time when you should raise money. Because then you can really scale it up.
Yeah, well, well said. And next question is, again, there's this constant debate. Should I become a big fish in a small pond or should I scale up nationally or globally? So when should a startup start to scale up?
So I think you should, this is related to the raising money. I think you should scale up once you have a product market fixed, fit.
Right.
Because then you can really blow in the money for marketing, for acquiring more users, more customers. And that's where you need the majority of the money. You do need money for the tech platform development, but the initial code development, you can bootstrap and do that, right? So you really don't require money for that. So I think to scale up, you have to be ready with your product in a way that there are users, there are paid users, and you have the capacity to actually take in money and scale up. At that point, you should do it.
Very interesting. So now let me move to the next segment. You know, my buyers, my viewers and listeners, they love to get to know my guest a little better. My first question to you, Vijay, is in such a successful journey as an entrepreneur, what would you say are three key pivot points or milestones in your life or your career?
Yeah, if I think back, I think the first would be class seventh. So class seventh, there was a teacher, his name was Dr. Shamim Ahmed, and I still remember him. He changed the entire structure of the class. He was a medical professional as by this thing, but he used to teach us social sciences and science. And he brought in a concept of surprise quizzes, incentivizing performance out of his own pocket, right? And something which I know when I joined IIT, I came across that kind of thought process. So I think he was years ahead of his time, and whole class, I think, overnight, I mean, I would say overnight, within a matter of months, the performance of the whole class changed dramatically. So that would be my first pivot point. The second would be, of course, getting into IIT Kanpur. That was huge. I mean, once you get into IIT, you got to see so many bright people and so many different ways of approaching problems. I mean, at some time you would get an inferiority complex as well. Okay. But I think that was a big, big moment. And I think the whole 4 years that you spent, I have fond memories and a lot of friends. So that would be my second pivot point. The third would be, I have to choose whether getting into a product or getting paid for it. I think I would say getting paid for the product that we developed. Wow. That would be my third pivot point, because that showed that what we had worked for four or five years actually has value. And I still remember the first customer we had, he paid rupees 35,000 for the product, and we were, wow, this is good.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Moving on, my next question to you is that, you know, a tech guru who's built so many amazing companies, what are some of the core values you have always believed in?
So I would say three of them. One is integrity. I think people talk of life and things being gray and not black and white. I think with integrity, you cannot go wrong. It's either black or white. You cannot have a person with 99% integrity.
Correct.
So I think that has been my number one value. And I'll give you an example. Integrity is doing the right thing. It can be defined so many ways. Like in company, from company standpoint, company perspective, when we do project, we tell our guys that saying no to customer at some times is also part of being having integrity. Well, the example I was coming to is during my college days at IIT. One day I was getting very late to the class, to the tutorial. Mm-hmm. So we used to have this bicycle from hostel to the academic lecture halls. So as I put my bicycle in the stand, I by mistake nudged the second cycle next to me, and it had a chain reaction with five bikes toppling over each other. So I put my bike on the stand and then picked each one of them and put them on the stand, back on the stand. All this while, my graph theory professor, Ms. Dr. S.P. Mohanty, he was observing me. He came. He said, "Vijay, what you have done, not many people will do." And I don't think I did very well in that subject, but still got an A. So I kind of always think back and see maybe it's because of this reason. So I think integrity is number one.
Yeah.
Then fairness. I think in my whole life, dealing with customers, dealing with my employees, this I have always fallen back upon fairness. Whenever there's a conflict, I say, hey, let me put myself in his shoes and see
if
I'm fair. That's very important to me. And third, I would say bias for execution. I look for people who have bias for, if I have to choose between thinking too much and executing, I would choose execution.
Amazing. Well said. So I have time for one more question. And this is for the many, many people who've listened to our conversation. Vijay, what would your advice be to a young startup entrepreneur who's starting off on her or his journey as an entrepreneur?
I think I have only one advice. Focus on the why. Why are you doing this? What is the reason for what you're doing? I mean, entrepreneurship is it's hard, right? And it's enjoyable as well. It can be enjoyable as well, but it's hard because you have less resources, right?
Correct.
You're trying to solve something which no one has solved before, or solving it at lower cost, or solving it in half the time, whatever. So I think you have to question why you're doing it. What is your reason for doing this? Earning money should be there. There has to be revenue, but that is secondary. That will be the primary reason. The primary reason why? What problem are you solving? Who's going to benefit?
Right.
So I think you cannot be wrong with that. I mean, you can use the Japanese have the five whys, right? You can look at that and try to solve it, but you have to be very clear with your why. And when you're clear with the why, till the time you make money or raise money, you will be always on the right path.
What a great response. What, find out your why. I think that's an amazing response. Vijay, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about the incredible journey you've had of both Think Future Technologies as well as InPage. Thank you for talking to me at such length about your thoughts on startups and entrepreneurship. And finally, thank you for sharing with me some deep insights and giving me some deep insights about your own pivot points and your own journey. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's been a pleasure talking here with you, and I'm looking forward to the video. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals.
You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.